You just took the last water. No, just kidding. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter number 12. All right, Romans chapter number 12. I do appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate you being here each and every service. There's a lot of things that require our time and our effort in the day and age in which we live. And we appreciate you carving out some time and coming to church, especially on a weeknight. I always thank our folks back home for coming to church on Thursday night prayer meeting. You say, why do you thank them? They should be there. But, well, life is busy. And life is hard. And we appreciate it when everybody does the right thing and comes out to church. Amen. And appreciate you being here. And thank you for having me. And looking forward to wrapping this up tonight. Romans chapter number 12. Your pastor's not the only one with a jelly brain today. I've got a jelly brain myself all day. And a lot of distractions today. I've got a few different texts from people saying I'm praying for you tonight. They hadn't been praying for me evidently prior to tonight. I hadn't gotten any texts, but then today, for some reason, my phone was going off about I'm praying for you tonight, and I needed it. Ask my wife. I felt like I was having a hard time firming everything up, but we'll see what happens. We're going to talk about the will of God tonight, and I guess one of the things, maybe because I've been such a jelly brain about it, is that it's impossible to exhaust any kind of a subject like this in one message. And so I'm just going to give you food for thought here tonight. And I'm going to tell you right up front, you may not agree with everything that I say tonight, and that's fine. And what I mean by that is that the thing about the will of God, it's a very multifaceted thing. And some people can have very, very definite opinions about it. Different preachers have different ideas about it. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on about it. And so you may not 100% agree with the way that I'll present it or my thought process about it, and that's fine. We're all going to get the main thing, and that's what's important. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time that we have to gather together and open up the precious book. And Lord, thank you for the Bible, and thank you for all of its direction and guidance. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'd help us to understand a little bit more about the proving of the will of God. And Lord, I pray that you bless it to each and every heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, so, you know, a lot of times people are interested in a message about the will of God. I think it's one of the big questions that every Christian has about their life. And so we're, you know, you can say, I'm going to preach on the will of God Sunday. And a lot of people will be interested in that. And I think we, hopefully, I've tried to build, we've learned that from Sunday morning, that if you just skip to trying to find out the will of God, you're probably never going to find the will of God. There's a lot that goes on before the will of God is kind of made known, all right? And so the essence and the purpose of our lives being after being saved, obviously, is that by the mercies of God, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice and all that that encompasses. And then we're to have a holy life unto God. And all of that is just only reasonable, as we've seen. And then we're not to be conformed to the world. And we saw what the world is in the Bible. And we saw the transforming last night. We're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then there's the word that. All this that we've been preaching on leads up to this, that ye may prove. So if you don't do those other things, you will not prove it. You will not prove it. You have to do those other things. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. You have to have a holy life unto God. You have to not be conformed to the world. And you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doing those things, you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you don't do those things, if I don't do those things, we will not prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And I think the pursuit and struggle of many is to know the will of God. And what is the will of God for my life in this age, in any age, is the age-old question. But here we see it's not a mystery. The will of God is not a mystery.
That's right.
It's not a guess. The will of God is not a guess. And just for semantics purposes, the will of God is not something you find.
Right.
You sit around going, I want to find the will of God like it's some kind of hidden thing somewhere. It's not something like that. It's not something that you technically find. Okay? It's not something that all of a sudden rings loud in your heart like a sudden revelation. What do they call it? An epiphany. It's not that. It's not all of a sudden one day I was driving, I looked at the tree, there was a bird in it, poof, the will of God came to me. Probably you can scratch that off of the will of God list right there. All right? But here, it is guaranteed to be proven in each and every believer's life. And if we do all these things that I've talked about, that we've been preaching about, then and only then you can prove the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. And then everybody, there's like debate all the time among probably just preachers and people and everybody wants to know, when I first got saved, I used to hear about the perfect will of God and the permissible will of God. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that is, right? Like, there's something besides the will of God that's a little less than the will of God. The problem is with all these things, like the word permissible, the permissible will of God, whatever that is, and you'll hear preachers preach that. It's not a Bible word. I worry about things that I can't find in the Bible. You should always worry about things you can't find in the Bible. And so I see that there is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But I don't see anywhere that there's the permissible will of God. And so people say, well, are these three different wills? Is there a good will? Is there an acceptable will? Is there a perfect will? I just think there's just a will of God. And I just think the will of God is good, and it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Now, like for something like that, you don't need to agree with me. That's fine. And if you disagree with me, you don't have to tell me that you disagree with me, all right? Unless you have scripture, all right? But I tend to see the will of God in the Bible as an ongoing thing. Like, we think about the will of God a lot of times, like, we only think about the will of God in the big things. Like, who am I going to marry? What am I going to do with my life? And, we want to get the will of God right in who we marry. We want to get the will of God right, whether we're called to the ministry or not, or what we're going to do for a career. Maybe we want to get the will of God right about where we're going to live, you know, what state, what town, what church we're going to go to. But then after that, a lot of us don't care too much about the will of God. But the will of God isn't about a thing per se. It's about everything. All right? And so it's a growing thing. It's a growing process. For instance, I have no idea what God's will is for my life in 10 years. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what God's will is for my life next year. I really don't. And I'm not worried about it one bit. And I'm not sweating it out. I'm in the process of proving it. All right? And we'll get around to that. All right? And so there's the will of God is multifaceted, correct? I mean, like we talk about those things that we're talking about, the big things everybody wants to know, and then we've got all these like little things, and then there's certain things that are everyday things, and we've got all this. You know, it's multifaceted, the will of God. Like, for instance, not everybody is to be a pastor. Not everybody's to be a pastor. But all, no matter their specific sphere of service, are to obey the same things. We all have certain things we're all supposed to obey. It's the will of God for all of us. But like, for instance, Paul made it a point to mention many times that he was an apostle by the will of God. He made it a point to say that many times. That was something very specific for Paul's life. There's probably very specific things for your life that aren't going to apply to my life. My life, for things for my life, that aren't going to apply for your life. Now, we all know some things, though. Like, I can open up the Bible, I can take a concordance, and I can look up the word will, and I can say, oh, this is the will of God, and this is the will of God, and this is the will of God. And we know a lot about the will of God for all of us. For instance, we know that that we're all to live a clean, holy life according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're to keep our vessels in sanctification and honor. It says, for this is the will of God. Right. All right, well, that's no mystery. That's not anything hidden. And we know, according to Romans chapter number 2, we know that we're not to steal, worship idols, commit adultery, and to lie about people and a lot of other things. It says that the Jews who had the oracles of God, it says of them, and knowest his will. Some things we just know. I know I'm not supposed to steal. I don't have to pray about that. Right? In Ephesians chapter 6, we are all to be good employees. We're all to be honest because we ultimately serve Christ and our behavior reflects our faith. Do you know what the Bible says about that in Ephesians 6? Doing the will of God from the heart. That's the will of God. You don't have to decide whether you need to be a good employee or not. It's the will of God. It's not a mystery. We are all to be good citizens of the nation in which we live. We're to be good neighbors, we're to be honest, and we're to do good works and do well to be seen of all men. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. And there it says, for so is the will of God. And these things are known things, they're revealed things. They're, I don't know, for lack of a better term, we'll just call them the general will of God for whoever is saved. We all have a conduct, we all have God's will, all right? But where we get tripped up is people want to know, well, do I live in Maine or do I live in Africa or do I go here, do I go there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's the will of God for all of us to abstain from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says right after that, it says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We know that we should try to, you know, be a witness and see people saved. We should tell people the gospel. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? That's God's will. Is God's will fulfilled in the earth? No. There's a lot of things that God wills that are never going to happen, and that's never going to happen. But you know what God wants us to know? God wants us to know that he wants everybody to be saved. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4, who will, speaking about God, who will have all men to be saved. Isn't that something? And so, you know, if you don't do, I'll say this, we can say this about the will of God. As we begin to talk about this, if you don't do what is clear, don't expect to find out what isn't clear.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right.
If you don't do what's clear, don't expect to find out what isn't clear. Now, I'm going to give you a thought here. Based on everything that we've been looking at, and I tell you, I told you at the beginning of this, and I tell everybody back home, and it's the way, it's one of the foundational things to understand the Bible. Context, context, context. Now, I think the context of the two verses is this. It's the transformed life. That's the context of the two verses. The conformed to Christ image life. Now, watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. God has a will for each and every one of our lives. It is the big, number one, overriding will for every believer. And believe me, it's good, it's acceptable, and it is perfect. And it is, in this context, to make us like Christ. And if we would pay attention to that, everything else will find its place. We get bogged down in the weeds. We get bogged down in the details. We get bogged down in things that, you know, we're trying to find some lucky charm or some way to figure it out. Listen, if you will obey Romans 12, 1 and 2, listen, you'll run right into the will of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know what God's will is for each and every one of us? God's will for each and every one of us is to be like Jesus Christ. Yes. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 talks about God's will. We'll call it the big will, the big will of God, all right, the ultimate will, God's will. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're all in the process of being conformed to Christ's image. Look at verse number 3, Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the, watch it, the good pleasure of his will. It's God's good pleasure. It's God's will to do this. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So is it a mystery? No, not anymore. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Do you know that he has begun a good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Amen. All right? Now look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's what we're to do. That's what it's all about. What it's all about is that he sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to shed his blood for us. And then what we're supposed to do, we are supposed to glorify the son. He is to be the firstborn among many brethren. And we are to be conformed to the image of his dear son. Changed from glory to glory as by the Spirit of God. Changed into his image. And here, this is God's will. And this is what God talks about. And this is God's purpose according to his own will. Now, look at this in Romans chapter 8. Okay, we were already there, but in another message. In Romans chapter 8. And so God's working this will in our lives. And this is where it comes in here, that all things worketh together. Romans chapter 8, verse number 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to, you see this right here, the will of God. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit has been given to us. We've been sealed by His Spirit until the day of redemption. That was right after what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1. And there we were, and He gave us His Spirit. And what is the work of the Spirit? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, to conform us, to change us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. And here it says that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Therefore, look at verse 28, we can know some things. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We just read about God's purpose in Ephesians 1. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. We read about that in Ephesians 1. What is this? What is it all about? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I mean, that's something else. You want to talk about the will of God? That's the will of God. All right, that's the thing we're proving in our life. Don't worry about the house. Don't worry about all that, you know, do I buy this car or that car or this guy? I mean, we want to do what's right and everything, but I'm telling you, first things first. First things first. We have this great purpose that God's doing in our life. And then we have the revealed will of God as far as our virtues and our behavior go in this world. I already read a bunch of verses, and there's a bunch more. You know, David talked about, I'm preaching through the book of Psalms back in our church, and David talked about in early in the book of Psalms how integrity guided him. Like, you don't need to pray about a lot of things if you have God's integrity. You already know. So all of life's details, if you will, for each and every one of us, are going to unfold for that purpose. What purpose? This purpose. To conform us to the image of His Son. All of the details of our life are going to unfold for that purpose. Maybe to be conformed to Christ's image, things will happen differently for you than for somebody else. For instance, for Paul, suffering was God's will. He was particularly a man of affliction. It was part of his calling. Matter of fact, when the Lord called him, the Lord particularly said in Acts chapter 9, verse number 16, that he was going to suffer for his sake. It was part of Paul's particular life and ministry to work what? This into Paul's life. Paul was talked about, look at this in Acts 21. Look at Acts 21. Paul's life was just that. Paul just like never had a day off. He had a thorn. You know what it was his will? It was his will for that thorn to be removed. Right? It was his will. Do you know in everything in life there's three wills battling? There's your will, there's God's will, and there's the devil's will. Paul had a will. And he's like, Lord, I will. Please take this thing away. And he prayed about it three times. And you know what? It was to have it removed. You know what God's will was? God's will was to leave it with sufficient grace. That was God's will. All right? That was particular for Paul. That's not for you and me, probably. All right? Look at Acts 21:10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So there's a prophet and he tells Paul, you go to Jerusalem, this is going to happen to you. He's not saying it wasn't the will of God, but he said this is going to happen to you. Everybody else is saying, well, the will of God is then don't go up. But Paul said in verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Amen. All right. Sometimes stop trying to figure out the will of God for somebody else's life. Yeah. You know, stop it. Just stop it. That's not the will of God for your life. I mean, you know, you might have a clear scripture, but there was no clear scripture here. I mean, you didn't know that Paul was stepping out of the will of God. Matter of fact, he was stepping in. He's just like, this is the everyday will of God for me. Bound, affliction, yeah, whatever. I get out in between prison sentences to preach a little bit. You know, that was Paul. Paul's like, why are you weeping? Why are you breaking my heart? Like, I've had so much of this, I'm ready to die for Jesus, right? And so we think we know the will of God for other people. Like, you know, that's going to be hard if you do that. Maybe that's not the will of God. Well, that's not a good thing. You know, like you have a verse, thou shalt not do anything hard. I mean, stop it. But we have this idea, you know, we get this idea about our own will. The details of daily life are often not really known for us a long time ahead. Life is changeable. You know what Paul said to the Ephesians? He said this. When he was leaving them in Acts 18:21, he says, but I will return again unto you if God will. That's a good way to live. He said, I will return again unto you if God will. You know, the Lord talked about those people. You know, there was a bunch of people in James chapter 4 at the end of the chapter, verses 13 through 17. And in essence, you know, they were saying, oh, this has been a great city to do business in. And we're going to come back here next year. And we're going to buy. We're going to sell. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then the Lord said, you don't even know if you're going to be alive next year. Your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. So you shouldn't really say you're going to do anything except Lord willing. Right. Like, Lord willing, you might be alive next year and you might do this. All right. But the Lord willing part had to do with their life. I mean, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Right? Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 23, he wanted to send Timothy to the Philippians. And he said, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul didn't know. Paul didn't know how it was going to go with him. He didn't know what God's will was going to be in his certain jail sentence that he was under while he was writing that epistle to the Philippians. The Apostle Paul didn't even know really what the will of God was a lot of times day to day, or whether he'd ever get back to a church again, or whether he'd ever do something. So don't boast about tomorrow. Right? We don't even know if we're going to be alive. So it also says in James 4, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It said it right there. So you better do good now when you know to do good, while you know to do it, because it's not God's will to put it off, that's for sure. I know for sure, one time I bought a vehicle out of the will of God. I did. You say you shouldn't be preaching. I know. I bought a vehicle outside the will of God. I wanted it so badly. And I just prayed and I felt so good about it that I was trying to make God feel so good about it. But there was that, as whatever you want to call it, you know, there was that still small voice saying, that thing's a lemon, you better run. And I was like, no, but it looks so good. And so I bought it. It was a disaster, wasn't it, dearest Lily? Bought it for you. No, I didn't. I bought it. I bought it. I always wanted a pickup truck. I've never had a pickup truck. It's my will to have a pickup truck. I've wanted a pickup truck for like all my life. Look how old I am. I'm almost dead, and I still haven't gotten my pickup truck. And so I just got saved, and I was praying about it. We were without a car, and we were going to go. And I was like, oh, look at this. It was a little pickup truck. And there was a little pickup truck and there was a little car. And of course the will of God was the little pickup truck. And he said, that's not my will. And I kind of knew it. But I did it anyway. And but you know what? I didn't go through life out of the will of God. Do you know nobody gets through life without making a mistake or two?
Yeah,
100. you say, what'd you do? I repented and moved on. That's all I did. I just repented and moved on. And part of that was when the blue smoke started pouring out of the exhaust, selling that thing at a great loss. Ouch, learned my lesson, spanked Hebrews 12, moved on to holiness, pursuing the will of God. That's kind of how it rolls, folks. All right? So while we are living out this conforming to the image of Christ and submitting our bodies to the transforming work of God, the Bible says that we will prove what God wants us to do. Now, that's an important word. Words matter in a King James Bible. Now, I've said this to folks for years. Get in the way, stay in the way, walk in the way, and the will of God will find you. You won't have to find it. You will run into it while in the path of obedience. I don't sweat the will of God. Like, I'm not fretting and worrying about it. My big concern is to be not conformed to the world, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, pay attention to what I know God wants me to do, and I figure that will of God is just gonna, I'm just gonna hit me right in the face. And I'll find it. It's gonna be there. You know, Paul's life moved about. He sought to go certain places, right? But it was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That's life. He hoped that the will of God would be to get him out of prison and see churches, but he wasn't sure how God's will was going to unfold. I have no idea how God's will is going to unfold in a lot of things in my life. So in our lives, we sometimes sit at crossroads, and I would just say to you, don't stress. Do what you know to be right to do, and be obedient to everything else in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then it will all be made known when it needs to be made known. Look at this in Acts chapter 13. Look at Acts chapter 13. Look at verse number 22. Acts 13, look at verse number 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's quite a thing. He said, David will fulfill all my will. And that's another thing. I just read this about David the other day. Listen to this. 1 Kings 15:5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Yes. Now that's something else. Does that mean David was sinless? Absolutely not. Does that mean David never got angry? David never got beside himself? I read the Bible where David got angry. I read the Bible where David got discouraged. I read in the Bible all kinds of things about David. It doesn't mean that David was sinless. It just means like everything God told David to do, David went about and did it. That's what it means. He did God's will. That's what God wanted him to do. And David did it. So you can find the will of God and you can do the will of God. Look at Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians, they were obedient to the will of God, but they still needed to be made complete. You know, you and I still need to be made complete in the will of God. Look at Colossians chapter 4, look at verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, part of the ministry, part of what we preachers do is trying to help us all be perfect and complete in the will of God. You come to church, we open up the Bible, we preach the Word of God, we're all exhorted, we're all challenged, we're rebuked, we're comforted, whatever the Spirit does with the Word. And all this is to bring us close to Christ, All of this is to reveal to us what God wants us to do through His Word. And the Bible says it's working to make us stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now I want to tell you, most of the time where you read about verses like this and you read about the will of God for us, it has to do with us being Christians. It has to do with us putting off the old man and putting on the new. It has to do with us being more like Christ. It has to do with us having an abiding in the Holy Spirit of God. It has to do with us being immersed in the Scriptures. We do all that, and all this other stuff is going to just play itself out. It's going to play itself out. Look, it's a continual thing. It's a continual working. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. So don't give up. People, like I said, you know, sometimes we relegate the will of God to like three or four big events in our life. No, the will of God is a continual process. And the will of God, you know, Lord, help me to know Your will tomorrow. Help me to walk in, you know, whatever's going to happen in the days ahead. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 20. It says here, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Now, you're going to look up these words in an English dictionary and look them up in your King James Bible, but perfect is often used in the King James Bible as a word that means complete, not sinless. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So all the will of God is going to be to the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything done in our life is going to be through Jesus Christ. So sit at His feet. Get in His Word. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And if we'll do that, all these details that we fret about will be made known. The key word in Romans 12:2 is prove. Prove. The dictionary says to prove that it happens in a process. It's to try. It's to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment or by a test or by a standard. It's to be found or to have its qualities ascertained by experience or trial. One of the first times it's used in the Bible is in the giving of the manna in Exodus 16:4. And just for time's sake, we won't go there, but Exodus 16:4, the Lord said, I'm going to give them manna, and I'm going to give them some rules about this manna. And the Bible says it was to prove them, to see what was in their heart, whether they would obey God or not. It was a proving. And He said He set up this process. He set up this thing. And this thing was going to prove what was in their heart. It was going to reveal it. Some, we found out, didn't listen to God. They didn't care about His Word. They tried to take too much. And they tried to keep some. They tried to, you know, just tweak the Word of God. So what is it to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? It's that ye may prove all those other things. That's the testing. That's the formula. That's everything that we get involved in. And what comes up out of that is the proving of the will of God in our life. You know, proving the will of God happens as we walk in the way. Psalm 119:1, verse number 9, verse number 33, verse number 37, all talk about walking in His ways. We often ask God, what way am I supposed to go? Go in His way, and then all those other directions in life will be taken care of. The great example upon earth was Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 30, in John chapter 6, verse 38, in John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17, every single one of those places, Jesus Christ, while on earth, talked to the Father and said this, that He came to do the Father's will. That was His whole purpose in life. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." That's good. That's what we need to do. We need to lay ourselves down before the Lord, and we just need to come here to do His will. A lot of times it's our will that gets in the way. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's wrong to pray a certain way. I'm not going to tell you that if you get sick or you're potentially going to have something serious in your life. I'm not going to say that it's wrong to pray to ask God to change it. Jesus in the garden in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Do you know that as a man, Jesus prayed in the garden that God would change His will, that He'd do it another way. But He did the important thing. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Has a man ever changed the will of God in the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Hezekiah changed the will of God. And he got a message. Put your house in order, you're dead. And he wept. He turned toward the wall and he wept and he begged God. And the same prophet that brought that message, God spoke to that prophet, sent him right back in and said, take this bunch of figs and put them on the boil and God will give you 15 more years. He said, what was that? A new will of God. A new will of God. I'm not a Calvinist and I'm not a fatalist. And I don't think everything is like, ooh, it's all determined. Every little moment of my life is determined. And oh no, if I miss something, I'm out of the will of God. Now I'm second class citizen and I'll never be in the will of God again for the rest of my life. Believe that. Be depressed all your life. I'm not wired that way at all. I see in the Bible, I see a guy like Moses. Moses, go deliver my people. And he goes and he does it. He does it wrong and he kills somebody. He gets caught. He runs and he's gone for 40 years. Nobody's heard about him. And then there's a burning bush. And all of a sudden, here's God's will back again. All right, Moses, you can go now. And he goes now. Now he doesn't even want to go like he went the first time and everything's changing. And then he's arguing with God about how he can't speak. And so then God gives him his brother Aaron to go help him speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he did deliver the people out of Israel. I read in my Bible, it was God's will to go right across that wilderness and get into the promised land. Sure. That was the will of God. And he said, let's go. And it wasn't a long journey. God wants us to go in and take the land. Spies, this, that, hem and haw, looking at it through the flesh. One thing leads to another. Now the will of God is that a whole bunch of people die for 40 years in the wilderness. It changed. The guy that he told to take the people in, all of a sudden now it was God's will that he die in the wilderness. And that a guy named Joshua takes him in. Now that was God's will. You're not going to get me locked into any fatalist stuff. You say something happened in my life. Well, just get back going again. Amen. Just get back going again. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians. We're just about done. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I feel like I've pitifully explained this tonight. Absolutely pitifully. Ephesians chapter number 5. God's good, acceptable, and perfect will is proven by renewing of the mind, the transformed life, by being a living sacrifice, and then it unfolds in the process of a transformed and spirit-filled life. Now watch this carefully. Look at these words in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Two words that we find in Romans chapter 12. Prove and acceptable. You say, what's this? Well, this is when the Spirit works in our life. When the Spirit's working, we'll prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So here you have the word prove and the word acceptable, and you have God's will. All here in Ephesians chapter 5. And it all has to do with walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And all that other stuff is going to find its place in your life. Compare everything that you want to do against the Holy Bible. Get into the Scriptures. We've already been studying and looking at the place of the Bible in all of this process. The book that the Spirit of God wrote and authored. Get into the Bible. Check everything by the Word of God. That's how you try the spirits. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. This is the last verse. Look at Proverbs chapter number 4. It's a process. It unfolds. It's revealed. We all need to be made complete in the will of God. Proverbs 4:17. I love this verse. Always have. 4:18 rather. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I'm after the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God in my life. And you know what it is? It's a process of a shining more and more unto a perfect day. I can't give up seeking for the will of God. You know, back in 1980, I found out particularly that God's will, one of the things God wanted me to do with my life was to preach. But that was just one of many, many things I've had to learn over the years. So the will of God is not something that you find like a hidden thing. It's something that you prove in the process of nonconformity to the world and transforming your life in the presentation of your life to God. So I'd say this, if someone came to me and said, you know, preacher, when I was 15, I think God called me to preach and I didn't go and I messed up my life and it's too late now to go back and to do that. And they asked me what I should do. This is what I tell them. I just tell them that they need to obey all of Romans 12, 1 and 2 and go prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You don't think God doesn't have anything for them? God still has a purpose. That's right. God wants them to be conformed to the image of Christ. No matter how much they've goofed up, start. I always tell everybody, wherever you are, start now and go forward. You know, all we do, the world just says, dig up the past all the time, dig up the past all the time. And, you know, forget the past, just start now and move forward. Yeah. I don't think that there's like, you know, okay, so you made a mistake. Listen, heaven's going to reveal we've all made mistakes. You might have made a bigger mistake. You might really know that it was one of the bigger decisions in life mistake. But it doesn't mean that you're going to go. You have to go through life now, never being able to be satisfied, happy in Jesus, fulfilling the, you know, being loved by God, being accepted in the Beloved, or being able to do something for Jesus Christ. Now, there might be things you can't do, like preach if you do certain things or whatever. We're not talking about that. That's another whole subject. We're just talking about, can I still be conformed to the image of Christ? Yes, you can. Can I take my life now, after I've messed up and not followed the will of God, can I take my life now and start now to do this Romans 12, 1 and 2 thing? Of course you can. Of course you can. God is a God that keeps working in our lives. You know, all through the Bible, I like that little word if. God will say, you know, all through the Old Testament, if you do this, I will do this. Like, if you obey me, I will give you this. He told to the Jews. And then he said, if you disobey me, guess what? My will is going to be different. I will do this. And then we see this doctrine of repentance, where people then get under the judgment of God and they turn and they repent. And God even says, if you will turn and if you will repent, if, then I will do something different. It changes all the time based on our response to the Lord. So no matter where you are in life, you're still here for His pleasure. So get in the Word, you know, obey God. Put your life in the Scriptures. Do you think if someone has been not so zealous a Christian for, let's say, 10 years, and they get in church and they hear preaching on Romans 12, 1 and 2, and maybe for the first time in their life, you think it's too late for them? Of course not. Doesn't it mean as much to them now as it does to you now? Of course it does. Doesn't God promise it to them where they are as He promises it to you where you are? Of course He does. We need to get in the Bible. And the Scripture can truly furnish us unto all good works. And we can find out what God's will is for our life. And we can continue being conformed to the image of His Son, who, the Bible says, gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, in Galatians 1:4. All right, so prove the will of God. That's my thoughts on it tonight. Preacher, it's all yours.